1 Thessalonians 5:12. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong. But always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, set you apart through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. I like the vision statement from 1 Thessalonians 5. The Church of Thessalonica had a great vision statement. The purpose of the last 2 weeks has been to give language to fresh vision. I'm not going to rehearse all of that this morning. If you weren't here for the last couple of weeks, there are a couple of talks online for you to listen to. The purpose was to give language to the fresh vision. So it was to encourage a conversation in all spheres within the church to discern if we collectively have a vision worth having, and therefore to commit to that vision by serving and with sacrifice, depending upon the Spirit to enable the fulfillment of it. And this was done by using a number of short vision statements, using the words, "the church I can see." I'm actually not going to go through them all again this morning. These are my words, yes, but they're formed after thinking hard and praying hard about how to speak to the vision of the church. But the question is, it's not really about my words. It's not about my words. It's about, can we discern collectively what God is currently saying, what He's speaking prophetically over us in this season? That's the key right now. You can dump those other vision statements, or at least deprioritize them in comparison to discerning what God's saying over us prophetically. So let me bring some things to you for you to judge for yourselves and to respond accordingly. To judge in the assessment way of judging and not the accusation way of judging. That belongs to a different kingdom and a different spirit. It's interesting that in the text, the New Testament text, the same word judgment is used in different contexts. And certain times you're told, do not judge. And exactly the same word is used in a different context when it's positive. So I think one is to assess, to make an assessment. The other is to make an accusation. So we're saying, let us judge some things that I believe God is speaking to us prophetically in this season. Let us assess it. I think God is speaking about soil and about seed. What is soil? Soil is the context for potential growth. Soil is the context for potential growth. Growth is only apparent whenever a seed's placed in the soil. It's only potential until a seed's in it. So 2 weeks ago, Jo shared about someone that she was nursing. He was trying to get their hands on soil from County Fermanagh that supposedly had healing properties. That was on the Sunday morning. On the Friday, Martin and I met with Barry at the university. It was a good fry in the uni on Friday. And on that day, his lab was being used to record a news program. Paul McCauley from the UTV journalist from the Northwest region was doing a recording on this very thing, the soil. And when Joe was speaking that morning, I felt that the Lord was saying something prophetically to us, and Hosea 10:12 came to mind. Just store that for a minute. And I almost got up and actually shared from Hosea 10. Because Hosea 10:12 is a key scripture for us at points of transition, I believe. It was brought to us a number of ways about 4 years ago, that specific text, which I will read in a minute. So that was the Sunday. Then on the Thursday night, at my own Connect group, we were praying specifically for the second Fresh Vision Sunday. And I shared this last week. I had a very strong picture about what the Lord had in mind for the talks, or because of the talks. And I saw very clearly a root structure. And I saw that the purpose of the talks was to pour food into the root structure so that it would grow. And it was a root structure instead of, or contrary to, building any other kind of structure that required scaffolding to keep it stable. In other words, the idea of Fresh Vision Sundays was not to present new programs. Okay, programs will come, because even organic farmers need to organize things in a certain way. In fact, they need to be more organized. They need to plan. Actually, organic farmers need to plan more, because they're not using artificial stimulants. But what I'm saying is, I saw this clearly, this root structure that food was being put into it by the words that were being spoken on Fresh Vision Sunday, but it was not to be a structure that required scaffolding to stabilize it. I would say that means that we're in for maybe not speedy growth in some areas. It'll be process, not an event, but it'll be deep, and it'll be long-lasting, and it'll be permanent. Then I received an email. I read that last week. I think I'll just read it again. So you see, you start to build a picture of synchronicity of the Holy Spirit. I live for this. The God speaking two or three or four or five times. It's just a great way to live. I want to throw in an often used prophetic picture that resonates with my spirit and that I submit to you. It feels like the sprouting of a seed, both in its roots and out of the soil. May we see both happen in the spiritual. So there is the growth down, but there also is the evidence of the growth upwards. That's my interpretation of it. May we see both happen in the spiritual. May what has been dormant and been existent in potential up until now sprout to life, and may our roots be buried and anchored evermore in truth. That's that. Then someone sent me Hosea 10:12 and Matthew 13 in the same email. So go to Hosea 10:12. Daniel Hosea. Hosea 10:12 says, "Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love and break up your unplowed ground. Break up the fallow ground. If there's something that we can do in response to this, it is to discern, to work out what is the fallow ground that needs broken up. Church, break up the fallow ground. Church, break up the fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until he comes. Until means until. Matthew 13 was sent in the same message. And then, because of that, because of Matthew 13 coming along with Hosea 10, I thought perhaps I should read that on Sunday. I should talk about that on Sunday. And yesterday, someone sent me a text saying, I was praying this morning for you and I really feel the Lord wants to give you some revelation from Matthew 13. Amazing. Amazing. Pursue that synchronicity of the speaking voice. I'm going to read the parable of the sower because this is our response. Now, let me be clear about this. I am not saying that the vision statements that were given are equivalent to the word of the kingdom that is spoken of in this parable. That is not what I'm saying at all. But the same principle applies, I think. The same principle applies in that good seed into good ground will always yield a good harvest. And if you take anything away from what I'm going to share from Matthew 13, it's simply that good seed into good ground will always yield a good harvest. Is the seed good enough, the question is, in terms of these vision statements? What about the soil? Into what soil are those seeds going? That's what we've got to work out. Matthew 13. The same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables. Parables is a story you throw down in parallel to a point you're trying to make. Saying, a farmer went out to sow a seed. It means to broadcast. Cast vision, broadcast. A farmer went out to sow a seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? And he replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Go down then, please, to verse 18 as I finish. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Good seed in a good soil will always produce a good harvest. So, discern if God is saying that. I would be hard to convince that he's not speaking about soil and seed right now. But what way does it need interpreted and applied? When it comes to revelation, when it comes to God speaking, you have the revelation comes in various forms. Then there is the interpretation, and then there is the application. In my experience, most people get it wrong at the interpretation and at the application point. The revelation is good, the revelation is sound. And some amazing revelation can come through some people that are not very mature at all. Amazing stuff can come through people who... It's not about... receiving revelation is not the evidence of maturity. It's the interpretation and the application of it. So, let's pray. Father, by your Spirit, we thank you for speaking over our church. This is amazing that God would speak over and into our church. Now, Lord, how do we together go about working through 1 Thessalonians 5 so that we can interpret what you're saying and apply it? Give us grace, we pray. Amen.